Hij is meester de dag again amongst friends. Hij is meester to share the gospel meeting with you and to share the fellowship that we enjoy as we in. Again, I'm trying to preach the gospel. It's a gospel meeting. And I'm trying to preach the gospel. Every one of us should enjoy the gospel message. It's the greatest message in earth. I'm not going to change it to a ministry meeting. I'm going to preach the gospel. And it's good to be able for us who have been saved by sovereign grace to sit and rejoice when we listen to the gospel message. It's the best message that the world has ever heard. Now I'm going to read a well-known portion, Luke's Gospel chapter 15. Luke's Gospel chapter 15. And we're going to start with verse 11. Luke's Gospel chapter 15 and verse 11. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me a portion of goods that fall to me. And divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swines did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring in his hand, and shoes in his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found, and he began to be merry. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that well-known portion. Now we're going to sing again in number 390. 390. We'll sing the first three verses. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mount. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its sins before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow over me. 390, the first three verses, and we'll stand and we'll sing. Now I'm well aware that the portion that we've read about the prodigal son is well known in this hall tonight. I'm sure every one of us in the hall could be up on this platform and tell us something about the prodigal son. I want to think of it under two simple heads. I want to think of the wayward son, and then I want to think of the father's welcome. The wayward son. I want to think particularly of some of the statements that the son made in the far country. We all know that Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 15, there is the prodigal son. There is the piece of silver. There is the sheep. And I sometimes like to think, sometimes when I read it, not only to apply it to sinners, but to apply to sins. You could be in this meeting tonight and you can sing all these lovely hymns and you could even be in fellowship in this meeting. But there's something in your life that's drawing you back. You're not so happy as you once were. You're not reading the scriptures as you once did. And in that heart of yours, you know that while you're sitting in the seat and could be in fellowship, but far away. And you're needing a second touch. I like to think of a second touch. I like what it says about Jonah. And the Lord spoke to Jonah the second time. And sometimes you and I need to hear his word afresh. The second time. This was a son that left his father and went into the far country and wasted his life and his earnings in the far country. You and I could go into the far country and wasted our spiritual life. The things of the world. There's such so many attractions today. Particularly for our young people. So much attraction. They need a second touch. They need to listen to his voice again. Listen to the Father's heart yearning for the return of your soul. Something's mine. They're not always on the top of the mountain, you know. Sometimes we're in the valley and we need a second touch. The prodigal son was in the far country and he wasted his life and his substance and righteous living. And he came to himself. And it's important, you know, for you and I to come to ourselves sometimes and take stock. He came to himself, and I want to think of some of the statements that this prodigal son had made. One of the statements quite deep. He says, Father, I'll say to my father, I have sinned. That's where we begin. We can't get round it. We can't put it aside. We can't try something else. This is where you and I must begin. If we're a sinner, and in the world, or if I'm a saint who's touching the world, I need to get back and say, this is the trouble. It's my heart. I'm sinning. Father, I have sinned. David sat before the Lord. The good thing sometimes to look at the times that David sat before the Lord. David sat before the Lord. His heart was heavy. He realized as much as he was beloved of the Lord, he realized that there was something wrong. And he said, I have sinned, and against thee only have I sinned. He should be merciful to me. Forgive my sins. And this is where we can got to start. Whether we are a sinner, the broad road that leads to destruction, or whether we have been a Christian who's come to know Christ as our personal Savior, and we've wandered away, we've got to come back, and we've got to start again, and in the presence of God, a sin, and this is the sin. This is the sin. The prodigal son said, Father, I have sinned. I'm sure everyone in the meeting has known what it is. That night or that day, when they came as a sinner and said, I have sinned. The next statement they made, they said, I am not worthy to be called thy son. Oh, he takes his place, you know. He says, I'm not worthy. And those of us in the meeting tonight know that every one of us, even whether saved by grace, we look up and say, oh, not worthy. We're not worthy. John the Baptist could say, I'm not even worthy to stoop down and tie his trousers. I'm not worthy. Because we're dealing with spiritual things. We're speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ and we come into him. And I say, I am not worthy. Here is the man. He's in a far country. He says, I'm a sinner and I'm not worthy. I wonder if you've ever felt like that. I like to preach the gospel when the hall's full. I like to preach the gospel if I think there's those who are unsaved. But if you're all saved, I still like to preach the gospel. Because it's the best message that's ever came to man and to women. And there's a day in your experience and mine when you said, I'm not worthy. Here is a son saying, I am not worthy. But the Bible speaks of another son. God's only son. He speaks about that son that never went astray. He speaks about that son that was sinless. That one that pleased him and he sent him into the world to save sinners. I'm glad that he came and you're glad that he came. He came into the world to save sinners and you and I came to him. And he came to die upon a cross. God looked upon his son and he says, this is my beloved son in whom I was well pleased. And he died upon a cross. There was no gospel message without the cross. I'm hearing too many gospel messages these days without the cross. Came and he died upon a cross. We should never, never forget that the one whom we trusted died for you and for me. At the cross he paid a price that I could not pay. And at Calvary's cross there was a price to be paid. And I couldn't pay it and you couldn't pay it. And at Calvary's cross the Lord Jesus Christ paid a price that you and I could not pay. A debt that you and I could not pay. And at Calvary's cross, not only did he have physical sufferings, he had the sufferings of the soul. And he was made sin for us. And he paid a price that you and I could not pay. I love to think about it. Paid a price. And that price was his precious blood. Shed on Calvary's cross. Shed on Calvary's cross. The blood is precious, we sometimes sing. That blood makes atonement for the sin. The blood of Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That word cleanseth, you know, is in the present tense. Not only did he cleanse my sin in the past, he cleansed my sin now, and he'll cleanse my sin in the future. How can I get into the presence of God? I'll be perfect. Because my sins have been paid the price for my sin. They paid the price that you and I could not pay. Paid the price. Shed his precious blood. Righteous blood, says Judas. I have betrayed, not innocent blood. No, no. Righteous blood. Righteous blood. Precious blood, says Peter. Incorruptible. Paid a price there at Calvary's cross that I could not pay. Calvary's cross, he fought a battle that I could not fight. There was a battle at Calvary's cross. He went down into death. He defeated him who had the power of death. That is the devil. What a battle! Battle with all the evil spirits. Battle with Satan. He went down into death. Defeated him who had the power of death. At the cross. It was a battle that you and I could never fight. And he was down into death. and came up victorious over death, hell and the grave. What a gospel message it is. To think that the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was worthy, went down into death and was buried, and the third day he rose from the dead. And in the gospel meeting we should rejoice at that, you know, that the one we preach is not in the grave, the one we preach is sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Do we really believe it? Do we really trust it? He fought a battle that we could not fight. He quenched a fire that I couldn't quench. In the Old Testament they had to bring offerings. The fire on the altar had never to go out. Every day, morning and night, every week, and every year, they brought the offerings to the altar. The fire had never to go out. And the hungry flames of that fire burned the offerings on that altar every day and every night. The fire was never out. But there came an offering, it was a lamb. The spotless Lamb of God was led to the slaughter. He went onto the altar and the fire burned. All the fierceness of God's wrath was upon him, and the fire roared in all its fury, and then the fire went out. The fire went out. God was satisfied with the offering of his son. Here was a son that was worthy. I like to think too that he prepared a place that I could never prepare. In my Father's house there are many mansions. Oh, we often say it, don't we? If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, the joy that we're living in the last days, you know. I like to read Jeremiah, I like to read Isaiah, I like to read Ezekiel. And my heart actually rejoices when I come to the end of these great prophecies. You know, it's prophecies that have been greatly neglected in our day and generation. We like to read the Gospels, we like to read the Psalms, but when it comes to Jeremiah, when it comes to Ezekiel, when it comes to Daniel, we find that difficult to read, and it is hard reading. But when you come to the end of these prophecies, we realize that he's still going to be king. We're living in days, you know, when it's near time. And when you come to the end of Ezekiel, you'll find that Israel, God's people, is going to be kings of the kingdoms. It says all the nations of the earth are going to come to Jerusalem. And it puzzles me sometimes what they're going to do there. They're going to keep the Feast of Passover. And it puzzles me to think while Gentile nations are going to come and keep the Passover. Keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Why is Gentile nations going to come to Jerusalem? So if they don't come, they won't have rain. The nations are going to be able to look at Israel as the head. And it doesn't matter what Russia thinks. Nor Iran. We're living in days, you know, when Russia and Iran and China is beginning to lay their heads up their heads. One day very soon they're going to turn around and say, we're going to go to Israel. And we're going to fight Israel. And as they come upon the mountains like grasshoppers upon the poor country of Israel, they forget that God is going to intervene. And God's going to intervene. He'll open the heavens and bring down fire and brimstone. He'll open the earth and the Russians and the Irans and China, they'll all get together. And they begin to wonder and be confused and fight each other. God is still in the throne. Israel will be the leading nation upon the world. Those who are Christians, you know, you should appreciate those Israelites in their day and generation. Oh yes, we're coming to the end of our days when God's going to look and Christ will be all and in all. And that He's prepared a place that you and I could never prepare. We're going to be home. There's going to be the shout. We're going to meet Him in the air. We're going to sit with Him in His kingdom. And we're going to rejoice as we see Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He says, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Then he says another statement, and I must come here close. He says, I am perishing. I perish here, he says, with hunger. He's in the far country. He's of sin. I'm not worthy. I'm perishing. Every sinner in this world is perishing. You and I, before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we were perishing. The Word of God says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. But to those who do not believe are perishing, He says, I am perishing. And then finally He says, I will arise and go to my Father. Oh, I like that. Do you remember the day or the night? He stayed behind maybe in a gospel, after a gospel meeting. You came to know Christ as your personal Savior. He said, I will arise and I'll go to my Father. What happened? There was repentance. Oh yes, there was repentance. There was a change of mind. That's what repentance means. And there was repentance. There was conversion. There was a change of life, the way you walk. And you came to know Christ as your Savior when you came back to your Father. The Father saw him afar off. Oh, He saw that one who had lived in the far country, wasting his life, and He sees him coming back as he is. And the Father saw him, and he ran to meet him. He was in a hurry to meet his Son. But if you in the meeting tonight aren't just as happy in your salvation as you should be, arise and come to your Father. He's in a hurry to save you. He's in a hurry to save you. What else did he do? He says, he fell on his neck and he covered him with kisses. He showed his affection and his love to the Son. He says, he fell on his neck and kissed him. Wasn't that a great night for that man? Came as he was. The Father was in a hurry to save him. He kissed him. He fell on his neck and he kissed him. And then he says, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Oh, the garments of the world, the garments of the far country is not suitable for the presence of the Father. Sometimes I feel I should say that in a ministry meeting. You know that the garments that are used in the world is not suitable for the presence of the Lord. You know the priests had to wear garments, priestly garments. Came a robe suitable for the Father's house. But Joseph had a coat robe, a coat of many colours that indicated his sonship. And here is the Father comes, the Son comes to the Father. The Father runs and meets him, and he kisses him, and he says, bring forth the robe. No, he says, bring forth the best robe. The best robe. And we have the garments of salvation placed upon him. And so I want you to do something else. He says, put a ring on his fingers. Oh, he's happy to have his son back. He's put a ring on his finger. It's a union that can never be broken. Here he's come back, once in him and him forever. He put a ring on his finger, and it was a union that can never be broken. The son must have rejoiced. He's put shoes on his feet. You'll have a different walk. You'll have a different walk. No, if we're Christians, we're expected to have a different walk. We expect to walk differently. We don't walk with the world. Our interest shouldn't be in the world. We should have shoes on our feet. Notice, when Moses stood at the burning bush, God says, take the shoes from off your feet. Moses, you're a servant, and you take your shoes off. But when it comes to his son, he says, you're a son, and you keep your shoes on. You put these shoes on. He's going to walk different. He's got shoes on his feet. Then it says, he began to be merry, goes for joy. Scripture says that when there is joy in the presence of the angels, when the sinner comes. Oh, I've seen the joy in some people's hearts, their eyes, face, and spoken to them, brought them to Christ, the joy. But there is the blessedness that I had when first I saw the Lord, the joy, began to be merry. But everybody's not going to be happy. There's a brother outside. And he's not happy. He's not happy to see that there was joy. He wasn't happy that the prodigal son came back. And the father went out to him. He says, oh, you never killed the fatted calf for me. You never was merry and be glad about me. Why haven't you done? Scripture gives us a clue. Prodigal son says, I have sinned. The brother says, I have never transgressed against thee. And how could there be enjoyment? Someone in the presence could say, I have never transgressed against thee. And you and I have known what it is to come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ to the foot of that cross. And to be cleansed by the precious blood of the Lamb. And we're going to meet him someday. He's going to welcome us. He's in a hurry to welcome us. And we're going to be in his presence. And that everything in the earth that's going to be turmoil, but you know he's not going to be there. We're going to be in the Father's house. Shall we pray? Oh, Father, we thank thee for the provision that thou hast made for us in the person of thy Son. We thank thee that he paid a debt that you and I could never pay. We thank thee that he fought a battle that we could never fight. But we thank thee that he rose from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on High. We pray that our affection for him will be stronger as we would seek to walk with him and for him and to work for him as we live our life down here. Thus we commend ourselves to thee now, praying thy blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we're going to sing hymn number 110. 110. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one. None else can heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. Now we're going to sing the first and the last two verses. We'll stand to sing after the introduction, 110.